Welcome to the Athlete Plus Network. It's the official podcast network of the Institute of Coaching Excellence, a research and educational outreach center in the College of Health and Human Performance at the University of Florida. I'm Kevin Carr, CEO of ProtoCEO, an industry professor at UF, and I serve as the host of The Hit Show, which means how I transition in terms of careers. The Hit Show is a podcast actually devoted to talking to current and former athletes about their on and off the field adventures, as well as track, field, or diamond, any athlete. And at the same time, we discuss the unique people. We talk with them about how they support these unique athletes, the teams, the coaches, the organizations they're affiliated with, and their stories to educate all us listeners and to advance the profession of supporting athletes. It's going to be a great show today. We have athlete lifestyle extraordinaire who's coming to us from Atlanta, Georgia, Miss Tracy Gage. But before we jump into the show, we have to give her proper welcome. Tracy Gage is the founder and CEO of T. Gage & Company, a boutique and lifestyle management company for professional athletes and their families. She is a gifted organizational manager and chaos coordinator. With over a decade of experience working with professional athletes at the top of their game, she's grown to understand the unique nuances of their lives and is passionate about delivering the same level of excellence to their personal lives that they bring to their professional careers. Tracy finds her greatest purpose in handling the finite details of her clients' lives with the integrity and discretion that they require and expect. Her motto is a life well managed is a life well lived. Without further ado, please welcome to the Hit Show, Tracy Gage. Welcome to the show, Tracy.
Thank you, Kevin. I'm very excited to be here. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today.
And we are too. So we want to jump right in it. The first short question, but you can give us a really good insight into your background because we want to know how people get their start. Who is Tracy Gage?
Well, Tracy Gage, number one, is a person who has spent a good amount of her life running away from her gifts. And when I finally embraced my gifts, I learned so much about myself and so much about the joy and the value I bring to my clients' lives. So I say that, I start with that because I really want people to understand that we are all gifted to do something, and finding out what that is and embracing it and using it to guide your life is really, really helpful to be able to live life well. And also, that is what I strive to do every way, live life well.
You know what? I like that. You know, I'm going to dig into that one a little bit deeper. You said you ran from your gifts. Why did you run? Like, Tracy, I just know you as someone who's super great at what you do. I can't even see you backpedaling that one iota.
There is a quote, and I don't remember who said it, but the quote is, "Comparison is the thief of joy." And I would always compare or look at other people and say, I wish I could do that. Or, you know, they're so talented or they're so gifted or they do this or that so well. And I wish I could do that, and try to chase what other people around me, and not in a malicious way, just seeing other people thriving and thinking, I want to be that person or I want to do what that person does. And so that kept me from really embracing my gifts. I downplayed the value in what I do. And what I do really at the end of the day, I'm a chaos coordinator. Says it right there on my cup. I'm really good at coordinating chaos. And it took me a while to figure out that that's actually has great value. Chaos is everywhere. Unfortunately, or fortunately for me, chaos is everywhere. And there's not everybody who is gifted enough to know how to manage it, bring organization, bring structure, and do it with joy. And that's really important.
You're so right. You know, these beautiful productions and all these events that you see, I can't even imagine what you have seen behind the scenes. And perhaps we'll get into that a little bit later. So I'd love to continue to like have that as like a theme, like chaos coordinator and making, you know, magic out of, you know, chaos. So that's really a unique skill for sure. Can you share with our listeners, you know, what inspires you to establish T-Gage and Company and delve into the world of lifestyle management for professional athletes and their families?
I kind of fell into this. I have a retail background. So I went to school for fashion merchandising. I have a degree in fashion merchandising. And I worked for, in its many iterations, when I left, it was Macy's at the time. And I was in buying, and then I switched over to the advertising side. And when I was in advertising, I would do a lot of special events and what they call celebrity wrangling in special events. So Usher's coming to, you know, launch a fragrance in the store, and I would be the person who would help the advertising team to make sure Usher had a great experience when he came to the store.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed it a lot. It did it very well. And then I had a really good friend of mine, who's my friend to this day, Asani Swan, who left Macy's. We worked together at Macy's, and she left Macy's to go work with professional athletes. And she asked me to come help her one day. And I did. And it was just such a cool experience. And I realized, whoa, there's actually something here. Mm-hmm. And after about a year working on and off with Asani, I decided to launch my company because I realized that this is a way that I could really use my gifts. And it was needed.
You mentioned Asani. I'll be remiss without shouting her out. She's such an amazing professional and someone that I have a high amount of admiration for her as a person and her professional career. So, Ms. Swan, we certainly have enjoyed watching you and the work that you do. And it's no surprise that you and Asani are like partners here because you both are amazing. So this is a I'm glad that connection. I was trying to figure out like how did you connect in? So this is awesome. Managing the lives of professional athletes requires a unique skill. Look, I've seen it all, Tracy. Coaches try to do it. Agencies, you know, everybody, the business manager, you know, you seem to have a true level of expertise in this space. You know, what skills or soft skills do you find most essential in your role? And how do you cultivate them within the work that you do to help the families?
Definitely a very, very special skill set. It's not for the faint of heart. You have to be very agile. You have to be extremely agile. You have to be able to adapt really quickly. You have to also be really, really, really focused on providing service at a level of excellence and not be in it for the fame, the glory, or the thanks, because it doesn't often come. Developing the skills that you need to do this type of work, excuse me, it takes some time. You have to be an excellent listener. You have to be able to anticipate your client's needs. I'm always trying to stay 10 steps ahead of my clients. I'm always trying to think based on their calendar and what I know about their calendar and what I know about them as a person and their likes and dislikes and their schedules and all that kind of stuff, what they will need long before they'll need it. It's really, really important to be able to kind of be a mind reader and think, you know, what is it that my client will need to make their lives smooth? And you also have to be pretty invisible. You want it to be seamless. You want to be able to let your client know that they are the most important thing that's going on with your world, in their world, and be able to just make magic for them. My clients think I make magic.
That's awesome. That sounds great. On the flip side of that, you know, is there like a way in which you work with your clients to help them be successful? Things like, I would find that you're probably a bit of a coach and bit of a manager and a bit of a trainer and a bit of a professor of some sort. Like, on the flip side of that, do you find yourself, you know, what do you feel like you're giving to your clients? I'm sure you found yourself in a space where you've had to do some pretty extraordinary skill sets to help get across what you need to get across to them.
I am. I'm a coach. I'm a referee. I'm a travel agent. I'm a driver. I make scrambled eggs when I need to. I would say really knowing your clients, knowing who they are and knowing what their needs are and building a relationship with them where they understand that you're on their team. However, I am not your yes person. I am your let's do this the right way. Let's get you the best results. Let's make sure you get what you want out of this. What is the end result that you want? And how can we work backwards from there to get you what you want and what you need? Mm-hmm. I spend a lot of time doing logistical things. I'm really good at logistics, coming from getting you from A to Z, figuring out the best way to get you from A to Z, and always having a plan B, because inevitably something's going to come up that will mess up our plan A. And so I got to be already ready with a plan B, because most of the time the client is shouldn't even know that plan A didn't work out because plan B is so seamless. So it's really about adaptability again. I would say that. I would say you got to be super computer savvy. You got to be really good at researching, really, really good at researching. And probably one of the biggest skills that I use all day, every day is relationship management. Managing my relationship with a client, managing my relationships with my vendors, with service providers, with any and everybody who I know I need to help me get the job done.
Yeah.
Super important.
Two things that you said that make me think, when you first talked out, you know, you have to be the referee. Like in this world of being a strategist for someone, I call it like you have to be the true serum there. You literally have to be the person. Do you find like you really have to, like when you have to go in and say something tough, how are you able to do that when a lot of people, oh, I might lose the client. I might, you know, whatever. How do you deal with
it? First of all, I know how to deliver the message in a way that they can receive it. Mm-hmm. I have some clients that I could yell at. We can get into a sparring session, a verbal sparring session, and they're okay with that because that's how they communicate. I have other clients where I have to step outside for a minute, calm myself down, and then come back in and pose the situation that we're dealing with as a question to them. Versus me saying, you can't do this, or that's not the right thing, or how could you do this, or what are you doing? I have to pose it in a question. Do you think this is going to give us the results that we're actually looking for? Do you think this is in the best interest of XYZ? Is there a better way that we can do this? I have to manage the tone of the room. I have to manage the tone in my voice. And I have to always remind my client that at the end of the day, I am here to make sure that your life is exactly what you want it to be. I won't do anything illegal. I won't do anything that undermines my own integrity. And I make those things very clear when we start the relationship. And I'm here to respect you. And I hope that you can respect me and that we can have these difficult conversations in a way that doesn't damage our relationship, but also gets you what it is that you need.
Wow. Very, very, very great feedback there. There's so many nuggets in that. Like, I think if you're listening and you're trying to figure out how do I get into the nuances of relationships and building rapport and saying the right thing at the right time, this is the podcast for you. You need to be listening to this for sure. With over a decade of experience here, Tracy, in this industry, what would you say has been the most profound experience or lesson you've learned along the way, or lessons?
Ooh, lots of lessons along the way. Lots of lessons.
I'll be taking notes. Write it down.
I would say really profound lessons are to understand that we are all human beings and we all make mistakes. It's how we come back from those mistakes that is most important. I, in the moment, I fix the problem and then I go back and figure out how do we make sure this never happens again. So in the moment is not the time to place blame. In the moment is not the time to point fingers. In the moment is not the time to make anybody feel bad about a situation. I fix the problem and then I go back and make sure we figure out how this never happens again. That's probably one of the most profound things I've learned in this job. And I'm a big quotes person. And one of the quotes I keep on my wall is actually a quote by Henry Ford. And it says, don't find fault, find a remedy.
Mm.
Don't find fault, find a remedy. And there's most of the time when things go wrong, there is some fault, but it's usually not helpful in that moment to try to figure out whose fault it is. It's really about fixing the situation so that we can move forward. That was a hard lesson for me to learn. In the beginning of my career, I would, I made some expensive mistakes. I would book flights to the wrong city. I was like, San Jose? Sure. San Jose, California. San Jose, Costa Rica. Didn't ask the question. I just booked to San Jose. You know, those are some expensive lessons I had to learn. And owning up to the fact that I made that mistake was very important in building trust and integrity and respect with my clients. So, you know, I had to eat it. I had to own up and say, I made this mistake. I have fixed it and I have made sure that it will never happen again. Mm. So those are one of the things that I think is very crucial for people to understand that we will make mistakes. Things happen. And a lot of things happen that are not even in our control. Mm-hmm. You know, flights get canceled. You know, any number of things can happen. It's all about how you respond and react and how you come back from it. That's super important.
Oh, yeah. I love how you talk to the mistakes part. I think people feel like they need to be perfect. And you know what happens when you're perfect? You make mistakes. So I'm appreciating the fact that that's a real thing that you can say and tell people. Can you walk us, or when you think about lifestyle management and it involves juggling multiple things and responsibilities and demands, how do you stay? How do you, because I know you have to be the expert, how do you stay organized and the tools you use to maintain your composure in high pressure environments, experiences, situations?
I use a lot of technology tools. I'm always so grateful for technology. Even when it doesn't work, I'm grateful for technology because then I can call somebody to fix it. I use a lot of technology things. Calendar management is extremely important to me. I manage multiple people's calendars. And so I am always looking at a calendar. I always have 1,000 alerts going off because I have a 10 minute alarm before every meeting for every person on my calendar. It just helps me to make sure that I'm keeping track and keeping up with things. I also like to use calendar scheduling. I'm a person that has tons of emails. I read all my emails. I go back, I respond to the ones that I must respond to immediately, but there's some that, you know, it takes some time, takes some thought. So I will respond to those emails when I have a block of time where I can think, and then I'll schedule them to be sent out at an appropriate time. So email scheduling helps me out a lot as well. And research, I'm really, really good at research. I'm always researching the latest tools. I'm always researching, you know, the latest trends, the latest everything. I'd spend a lot of time researching. It's very, very helpful.
I love that because I think people may not realize that there's an art at getting information. That's one thing, yes. Right? But there's also the skill in it is making sure it's the right information. You can get information all you want, right? But what if you don't get the right information? How do you talk to that? Or how do you see that?
You can always get information. It's how you translate and use that information that's important. I have a couple of nicknames. One of them is the Yelper or the Googler. My friends call me the Yelper or the Googler. Mm-hmm. They call me the Yelper when they want to know about a restaurant. What restaurant should we go to? Let's ask the Yelper over here because she's researched every restaurant in this area before we got here. Or they'll say, ask the Googler because she knows how to exactly the words to put into Google to find what we need. So those are a couple of my nicknames. And I also make sure that when I'm researching, I'm taking notes of things that may not help me in this moment, but are useful a little bit further down the road. So I could be researching something about you know, the latest iPhone or whatever for a client. I'm researching, you know, what's the newest phone, what are the features and technology and all that stuff. So I'll research all of that. And on my way, I might find some other interesting information about another piece of technology or the newest thing that's coming out. So I always have a notebook. I'm a notebook queen. I always have a notebook. And then I have little tabs in my notebook that is, one says now, one says later. It's just the simplest, silliest things, but it helps me because this is stuff I'm working on right now. And then I have a scratch page that's later. And on the later page, I just write down random things that I find that I know at some point this is going to be useful to me. And so I have lots of notebooks around with now and later stickers in it.
I feel like I'm getting a master class here. So I appreciate you like dropping these nuggets on it. So can you like bring us into your life a little bit even more by walking us through a typical day in your role as the CEO of T-Gage and Company? Like, what are some of the things you face, challenges, and how you deal with them from day to day? Take us through your day.
No day is ever typical. Let's start with that. There's not a typical day. Every day usually starts for me with some time to just talk to my Lord and say, help me, God, get through this day. Always starts with that.
Okay, good.
And some gratitude. Mm-hmm. And then calendar. I look at calendar at night before I go to bed, and I look at calendar first thing in the morning. And it depends on the client that I'm working with. I have one client who not every morning, 30 minutes before every meeting, I send them a text. Here's your meeting. Here's the link, or here's the address. They get that 30 minutes before their meeting just to make sure that they are on track and they know that their meeting is there. If I don't hear back, then I call 15 minutes before the meeting. All I need is a response to my text, a thumbs up, a something, so I know that you've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of managing my day and my clients. So I usually get up, check my calendar, make sure everybody's on track to where they need to be and what they need to do. Depending on where I am, what city I'm in, what we have going on, it could be meeting the client, making sure that they have everything that they need. I spend a lot of time speaking with the other auxiliary people around my client. So if they have a stylist, let's make sure wardrobe is good for the day. If they have a driver, making sure the driver has the addresses and the details and the instructions. If I have a housekeeper that I'm working with, making sure the housekeeper is good, making sure she has everything that she needs to do her job for the day. If we have a chef, got to make sure the chef is good. I check in on everybody every day. What's going on? How are you? Do you need anything? Is there anything you need from me? I'm super, super busy, as we all are. And I always make sure that they know that if you don't hear from me, please reach out. Please reach out, because that means I'm in the middle of chaos. But I do try to always make sure I check in with everyone, just make sure everything's good. Everybody has what they need. So it just kind of depends. If we're planning for a big event, we're planning to go to All-Star Weekend, I'm making sure everybody's flights are booked, that all the transportation is booked, that if we need greeter service at the airport, we have greeter service set up. Lots of little tricks of the trade that I use to just make sure everybody's on the right track and doing the right thing. I have my own person that I work with, my assistant, who helps me to make sure that T-Gage & Co. is on track while I'm managing my clients' lives.
Well, the expert has an assistant. You have your own way of keeping you on track. So you found that you need a bench yourself, right? Okay, got you.
I do. Someone who keeps up with the stuff that I can't keep up with. I'm getting ready to ramp up some things on my business side, on the T-Gage & Co. side. So she's right now doing a social media calendar for me, because I think I can do it myself, but I can't. I can't keep up with it. So it's important for me to have someone who helps me run T-Gage & Co. myself.
Awesome. You know what? It's important that we realize where we need our help to be. So I'm glad to hear you. Like, I was thinking, man, she's so awesome that she don't need nobody to help her, but that is not true. So good. Made me feel okay. We talked a little bit earlier about building relationships with the client and their family, and we know in this industry that's paramount, right? So how do you establish this trust and support with the professional athlete and their family? Because a lot of times people in their family feel like people are after them all the time for something. How do you get over that? That's a I'm taking notes this time. Go ahead.
Well, the first thing I realize is not everybody's going to like me. That's very important to realize. Not everybody's going to like me because the job that I do sometimes is conflicting or feels conflicting to what other people want or their role in the person's life. And they may feel I am either in the way or I'm taking their place or I'm a step in between them and the athlete. So it's really important for me, first of all, to build trust and rapport with the athlete. And that usually starts with how we're connected or how we're introduced, how I come into the picture in the first place. Usually it's by referral, because then there is an agent of trust between us to get us to the place of even having a relationship in the first place. I prefer my clientele come from referrals, from someone who knows me, knows how I work, knows what I do, introducing me to the client, whether that be through a family member, through an agent, through the NBA or through a league, however that comes about. And then I make sure that my client and I are a match for each other, because I'm not everybody's cup of tea, just like every client is not right for me. You know what I mean? So I try to make sure that we're compatible in that space. And then it is a matter of meeting the family, understanding who the key players in the family are, and figuring out, usually with the client first, what do you want my role to be with your family? And it's very important that we have that conversation, because they also need to understand that I'm here to help facilitate these relationships with your family. There's a lot of things that you don't feel comfortable saying no about. That's my job. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it with respect. I'm going to do it with kindness, but it takes you out of that uncomfortable place of having to tell a family member no for something that doesn't necessarily need to be your responsibility. So learning the roles that everyone plays in the client's life and understanding that there's going to be some difficult conversations that have to happen. But as long as they're happening with respect and integrity and kindness, we can pretty much work through anything.
Mm. Very well said. Super important to get that. You know, when you're thinking about working with an athlete and their family, that's key of what you said. I love the part that not everybody's going to like what you do. And you have to be okay with that as long as you're operating with integrity. I think that's real important. I felt that too on my end that, hey, there's some energy here, man. Somebody doesn't feel like they, for whatever reason, and you may be competing against something that they want to happen. Yes. For them, right?
Yes. Yes. And the other experience that I've had is where a client might want, an athlete might want their family member to have a particular role in their sphere. So they might want their mom to run their foundation. And I like to advise my client, if that's what you want, that's fine. But let's make sure we get your mom the training that she needs to be able to do that. So let's not just hand over the keys to the Mercedes without giving someone the driving lessons. Let's take them to the Mercedes dealership so they can get the full experience that you got when you purchased the Mercedes. You know what I mean? Let's make sure we're setting them up for success. Mm-hmm. So I don't try to tell my clients, no, you shouldn't do that, or, you know, that person isn't qualified. If that's really what they want, then let's get the tools in place. Let's get them the training that they need. Let's set them up for success so that at the end of the day, we all have success. And put some benchmarks in place to make sure that we are having success. Like, let's not wait till the car crashes before we say, you know, this driving isn't going that well. So having some benchmarks in place to make sure that we're measuring success is also important.
Tracy, because their lives are very high profile, discretion is real important. You know, a lot of people like to put everything out there these days. And clients that you work with, I imagine they are very high profile. And when it comes to their business, you want to ensure confidentiality while still providing exceptional service to them. How do you operate in that? Because this is important. People are posting everything, putting everything out there these days. Where's the line drawn for you in terms of confidentiality and discretion?
Very important that everyone in the client sphere signs a confidentiality agreement. And I mean everyone. That I'm very big on that, everyone. And I have some challenges with clients sometimes because they don't understand why am I making their significant other sign a confidentiality agreement? Why am I asking them to do that? And those are the places where I bring in help. How about your attorney help you understand why confidentiality agreements are important? You know what I mean? So I'll bring in help to bring the point across. So that's the first thing. Confidentiality agreements are very important. Second thing is using aliases at hotels, for mail, all kinds of things. I advise my clients to have aliases that they use for certain things. A simple thing that you can do for even mail, get your mail delivered to or packages delivered to a UPS store box. That way it's not coming directly to your house. Somebody goes and picks the mail up for you and people don't have to have access to your home address. Another thing I do with clients to help protect their confidentiality and to make things smooth. Athletes get traded all the time or they move from city to city. Having a permanent address, which could be your financial business office. It could be a parent's house, whatever the case may be. Having a permanent address that important documents go to is very important. That way, when you get traded and you move from city A to city B, we're not worried about your most important documents and information going from place to place to place, getting it forwarded, this, that, and the other, trying to keep, you know, insurance documents, life insurance things, all that kind of stuff, making sure there's one place that's centralized that all that kind of stuff goes to is very helpful when you are there's a possibility that you can get traded. And you usually don't know when you're going to get traded. You know what I mean? So just simple little tips like that help to keep continuity, keep things simple, keep things confidential because you're not worrying about your mail getting forwarded to the wrong place or getting into the wrong hands. You know, you move, you leave your apartment and they're, you don't live there anymore. The new person who lives in that apartment just takes your mail and throws it on the counter on the side there because you don't live here anymore. I don't want your mail in my mailbox. You know what I mean? So things like that, little tools of the trade, I call them, help to protect confidentiality. I have personally a lot of addresses with my name associated to it because a lot of times when we transition clients or things like that, my address is the one that people get to send packages or send things to. I also am the name that the air conditioning guy has when I set up an appointment for an air conditioning guy to come to the house. It's my name that he sees. Mm-hmm. I've had clients where, you know, obvious when you walk in their house, you are like the service provider is like, whoa. And I say, I'm a really big fan. Like, no, I'm a super fan of this person. That's why their picture is all over my house. Cause I am a super fan. So things like that happen. But it's also really important as you have a client that is set up and is pretty established in their primary residence that you build relationships with service providers and vendors that are used to working with high net worth individuals because they also value discretion and they also have a level of integrity that they are also trying to maintain because they want to keep you on as a client.
Right. Wow. Very, very well put. And it really is helpful to people understand how you establish that. I think people take that for granted. And I think professional athletes really and their families really appreciate the privacy when they can trust you to keep what they're doing confidential. And that's a really, really good strategies that you have there. So thank you for that. You know, you're super busy. I need to know, how do you prioritize yourself in terms of taking care of Tracy with self-care and maintaining a healthy work-life balance for you?
The beach. I must get to the beach once a quarter.
Okay.
I must put my toes in the sand and feel the ocean air once a quarter. That's important to me. That's priority. So whether it is I take a weekend to do that myself or it happens to roll into a client trip, I'm getting to the beach once a quarter. That's very important to me. That's where I reset. That's where I experience God at his greatest is standing in front of the ocean because I look at this massive ocean and I'm like, wow, So I try to get to the ocean once a quarter. As I mentioned earlier, in the mornings I wake up, gratitude, prayer helps to ground me, helps to set the day. And I also try to laugh a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I try to laugh. A lot of that comes in after I have solved the problem. As I'm going through figuring out how to make sure this doesn't happen again, there's usually some laughs in there. There's some laughs in there. There are things that either somebody just didn't do the right thing, or there's usually something, some nugget in there that I can laugh about. So I also try to laugh a lot. I have an amazing circle of friends who understand the business that I work in. I make sure my friends know I may be in your city. I may be in your city for 10 days. I may not be able to see you. That's just how crazy my schedule is. Doesn't mean I don't love you. Doesn't mean that, there's any animosity there. It just means I may not get to see you. But if I can, I'm going to come for 5 minutes and hug your neck, because that gives me energy. That makes me feel grounded. That reminds me that I'm a person outside of the work that I do. So those are a couple of the things that I try to do to take care of myself. But the beach is number one.
Love it. I know you care. Your care in terms of how you take care of people is amazing. So I'm so glad to hear you are taking care of yourself for sure, because you give a lot to others. Now we're going to take it up a bit to the speed round. This is where we ask you quick questions about you. One word answers are encouraged, but we understand if you have to go a little bit longer. You ready? You ready? Shake it out. Get you the water.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
All right. Let's go. What's your favorite part about working with professional athletes and their families?
My favorite part is seeing them happy, seeing my clients happy. When they're in their home environment and they're happy, that gives me the greatest joy to see them happy.
Early bird or night owl when working?
Night owl, for sure. Night owl. And I'm up super, super late. And as I was telling you earlier about reading emails, I read all my emails at night and then I schedule them to go out the next morning. My response is to go out the next morning because I don't want people to know that I'm up at 3 a.m. reading their emails. So I send them in the morning and they think I'm an early bird.
Excellent. All right. As a lifestyle management expert, one productivity hack you swear by?
Calendar management. Gotta stay on top of your calendar. 100%.
Favorite book or podcast that you recently enjoyed?
Favorite book that I've read recently is called Cast, The Origins of Our Discontent, which is, they actually just had a movie just come out about it, but it's an incredible book by Isabel Wilkerson. I learned so, so much in that book. It has definitely left an impact on me. So I would say Cast is my favorite book that I've read recently.
If you could have dinner with any three people, living or past, who would they be?
That is an interesting one. I would say first, Kobe Bryant, who is my favorite all-time athlete. And I just admire so much his passion for what he does, for what he did and how well he did it. So I would say Kobe is one. I would say, funny enough, I would say Mary J. Blige, because we are soul sisters. We met one time and at an event, and we sat in the corner, like at this big, fabulous event. And she and I were just in the corner like, this is great. But boy, is it nice to just be in this little corner by ourselves. So I would love to expand on that experience with Mary J. Blige. And probably the third person off the top of my head, I would probably say my grandmother, because she passed on. She left me a lot of legacy, but I would love to have one last dinner with her to tell her how much I love her and to just thank her for everything that she taught me in life.
Awesome. Awesome. That ends the speed round. I love it. Love it. Let's talk about a little bit of a bonus here. Last couple of things here. You know, looking at your career, what legacy do you hope to leave behind, and a piece of advice you would give to someone who's aspiring to do lifestyle management or high profile people like you do?
Legacy, I would say, I hope my legacy is that I enabled people to live their best lives. I hope that I was able to facilitate them living their best lives. That is the legacy that I want to leave in this world, that you can look back and say, you know what? She was around and she made sure that my life was good. That's the legacy that I would love to leave. And then someone who's aspiring to get into the lifestyle management business, I would say networking is very important. If I had known this was going to be my career path way back when, I would have cultivated relationships with people like athletes that I knew. I was the, not the captain, what do you call it? The manager for the football team. And so as I think back now, I'm like, wow, if I had known then what I know now, I would have really cultivated some of those relationships with some of those players, because you never know where, you know, these people would come up in your life later on. So I would say networking and cultivating relationships is where I would start.
Awesome. Awesome. I really appreciate that. I think that's, I took a note or two on that myself. I wish I'd have done a little bit more of that when I was at the league office, because now the network is, it's like gold now, you know, if you can use it.
Yes, right. It is.
Lastly here, I want to, as we wrap up, is there anything we can do to continue to support you in your journey, in your career, and help you be successful? Can you tell us how to follow you or support a project or two that you have coming up, a book, a online learning platform? What is it that we can do to continue to follow you and support you? So this is your shout out time.
My shout out time. Wonderful. So you can find me at T Gage and Co, all spelled out, on all social media platforms. That's where you can find me on social. And then I am in the midst of writing a training program, and I just received 2 days ago the proof for my very first book. It's called Head in the Game. Mm-hmm. And it is a lifestyle management guide for the professional athlete. So I am very excited. It's a proof copy. I have to go through it, make sure everything is perfect, and it will be available very soon. So if you go to my website, which is tgageandco.com, there is a link on there where you can get a free kind of guide outline of what the book is about. So if you go to my website and click on that, and then you'll also get, I'll also get your email information so I can let you know when the book is actually available for purchase. So I'm super excited about that.
Wow.
And I got a copy for you and Nephi coming your way.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Goodies. We like goodies around here. So we appreciate you. But I also want you to know that we'd love to keep up with you. We want to keep following you, supporting you. And we want to make sure that our audience who has a special interest, because what you do, Tracy, you're a unicorn. You're one of the few people in sports entertainment who has a plethora of experience, in my opinion, dealing with supporting athletes on the personal side. I think where their mind goes and their personal life goes, it impacts their performance. And if you can help them manage through that, I think a lot of people miss that. If you help them manage through that, it is like their physical exponential success can go to higher heights. So I'm extremely delighted and proud to have you on today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. For being on the Hit Show today, and the University of Florida, thank you. Thanks. So in closing, we want the hot podcast here, the Institute of Coaching Excellence. The Hit Show doesn't end without our guest saying thank you. So Tracy, any last thank yous from you so we make sure we transition well?
I would love to thank you, Kevin, for the opportunity to be on this podcast. Thank you to Nephi back there, who's making everything happen. And I want to just thank my clients that I've worked with over the years. I really appreciate them giving me the opportunity to provide a service to them and letting me be a part of their personal lives and their families. So thank you to all my clients. And thank you to my friend Asani Swan, who has been by my side for a long time and who is the one who brought me into this wonderful world of sports.
Well, again, thank you for being on. And you have listened to Tracy Gage on the Hit Show, and that's a wrap. Thank you, Tracy, and we're out.